Sabrina George, still with New Comedy Radio. Interview. Al Oaken for New Comedy Radio. I know we're doing a big session here. We've just talked about Edinburgh. So you started touring overseas. How did that go? Did you change? Did you have to adapt?
Only for Americans. Well, they don't really speak English. Not as we know it, Jim. I've been doing that anyway because of folk clubs. I worked all over Europe, particularly Belgium and places, and Ireland, if you count, that's abroad. So I was used to going abroad. And then I got the guy from Germany coming over, and I was naturally worried about how they'd speak English. And it's very simple what you do. You know that their English is pretty good. I'd already done folk. I'd done festivals, you see, in Denmark, and I knew they spoke very much better than we do. In the Midfoon and what was the other big one in Copenhagen? I've forgotten now, but it's a
big hippie village.
Not Christiana. There's a big festival. Okay. 65,000 people in the grass, most of them topless.
Yeah.
Even the men. And it was, I did that a few times. So I knew they spoke English, and the German thing, yeah. And all you do is you look at what you're saying, you speak a little bit more slowly,
carefully,
as if you sound you on some sort of drug, but they don't know because they think it's normal speed. And in Germany, you put your verbs at the end. No, you don't. But you simplify your language. If, for instance, there's a bit in one of my routines. I'm trying to think how it works now. I use the word for those who wish to indulge in, and I'm thinking, it's a better word for what the laugh I want to get, but they won't understand it. So I'll say for those who wish to try. So you just do little things like that. Use simpler language. I once did a tour with somebody who's now become very famous, so I can say it because it won't affect his career at all. Jimmy Carr. And Jimmy Carr's whole comedy relies on clever wordplay. And he died the death every night because there was no way he could do his act in Holland so that they could understand. They wanted to understand. It wasn't that they were booing or anything, but they literally couldn't understand what he was saying. It was too subtle linguistically. My stuff is basic. What am I talking about? I've got no local references. I'm talking about women. I'm talking about food, maybe. And music. I mean, those are my things. And you know, these things exist in other countries. I mean, occasionally it goes wrong. I was performing for people from, New Jersey.
And tell.
And I did, you know, as usual, I was in producers, musical genius, and sex symbol. And I heard this guy who ran the club, not even one of the audience, saying, I don't see why you think he's so sexy. Why does he think he's missing the entire point?
What are you going to do?
Last year I did hopefully my last cruise, and it went out of Hawaii. All the Europeans and all the Australians, everybody, no trouble. I do this thing about Andrew Lloyd Ferret. Okay, I never mention him by name, but it's quite obviously about him. And all the Americans are looking very nonplussed, and I found out afterwards they thought I was singing about Paul McCartney.
Oh, completely missed it on every level.
Yes, on every level. And it's, interestingly, when I'm in America, the people who really get me are black audiences love it. And I discovered a couple of years ago, Latinos get it. It's just those sort of middle of America, probably the people who voted for George W. Bush.
Who take everything you say literally.
Yes.
So when you say I am a sex symbol, they go, yeah. Those British are really old.
You remember what trouble John Lennon got in when he said, hey, women were popular than Jesus, and they completely missed the irony of that, and they became figure of hate. It's the same thing, they don't get it. You know, count the brain cells, do they? Are there more than 9? Probably not. That's the only trouble I have with them, and I don't get on well with any nationalities of drunks because for the same reason they've just gone. And I sometimes have trouble with people who don't think that you can do music and comedy together on the same time. So as soon as I start singing with a guitar, their brain switches off and they start talking to one another. Are we singing a song now? Yeah. No, hello, that's where the comedy is. No, too late, they've gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I get as many encores as just about anybody on the circuit. But we all die at some point, and it's usually people like, I don't get on with, you know, your archetypal jongleurs audience, you know, your stag nights.
The
no,
stag nights
no,
and hen night group no. brigade, yeah.
Oh, hen nights could work. I was, because of this
sexual symbol thing, yeah.
I was booked once or twice for only women shows on 14th of February, or the night when England was playing something at football, and there was a whole bundle of football widows, and they wanted something, and I'm not interested in football, so and I was there.
And have you done places like the Far
bitch,
East?
Basically. What, Essex, you mean? yeah, I have. I've done Hong Kong.
Is that mainly expat audience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did Shanghai, but got ill while I was there, so I didn't do much there. I've done Singapore. Now that was a mixed audience. There was a lot of locals there. That was fine. I've done Singapore several times, and Australia was east, I suppose, if you're going that way. But that's, you know, they're like English people, aren't they? Only more so. I've done.
They wouldn't like you to say that, but that's what they are.
Well, they are really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a sort of Cockney accent gone wrong, isn't it? Really. But then again, I perform in Brazil, and there I'm playing bossa. I mean, it's one of
I was going to say, you focus more on the bossa nova.
Yeah, that's my speciality, is writing bossa. But I can do a little comedy, because at one point I do it and it's quite obvious I'm imitating and exaggerating the accent of a gentleman called Jorge Roberto, who's the god of bossa nova. But he's got, you know, he sings wonderful, smabalos. And so they know I'm doing him, and I'm overdoing it, and they giggle. But it's just a little frisk. It's not heavy comedy, but it just... I always did comedy as, how can I put it, the frame, and music was the picture. So in my mind, in my own act, when I'm doing a show as I want to do it, the comedy is just there as the frame, and the music is what people should be listening to. But of course, in comedy clubs, it's the other way around, and you have to.
So when you do things like the trumpet and all those strange things that you do without a trumpet, where does that come from? Was that something you did as a small child as well?
17, I was. I got into the Duke Ellington Orchestra.
Because that is bizarre to watch. I don't know anyone who personally an orchestra.
Well, there's somebody on the comedy circuit who does it. I might have got his name now. He's in the Flying Pickets. Gary. I've got his second name, but. But I did it because I love jazz, and I wanted to do, I don't play the trumpet, and you could do it while you're playing the guitar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Mills Brothers did it before the war. It's got quite a history to it. My idea when I do that is, okay, in comedy clubs it becomes a thing that people laugh at, but in a jazz club they might little giggle, and then they start listening to the jazz solo.
That's what I meant to say, because musically it is spot on. So it's funny on one level, but actually musically it's accurate.
See, if it weren't good musically, then I wouldn't be able to do it for a minute.
Yeah.
You'd be able to do a funny noise, and that'd have to be another joke. When you do it properly, then people can actually get into the music side of it.
Listen as well as watch, yeah.
Because I've always thought, as I said, you know, why compartmentalise people? Why can't you listen to music while you're laughing? Why can't it be both?
Yeah.
Why has it got to be?
Yeah.
You know, you speak to a lot of artists who don't want to be put in pigeonhole, and the media are always trying to, once you do one thing, you've got to always be doing that, haven't you? Right? And then, you know, actors who always play villains, and they, of course, they want to do comedy. And once you always do comedy, they want to play the leading man. You know, we don't like being put in those pigeonholes, and the media are always trying to do it. And so I'm the same thing. I like to, as I said, my show is, you don't know what I'm going to do next. Mm. Bossa nova, jazz. If I wanted to do it, I could do a French song. Why not? Oh, I do perform in French sometimes. Parce que alors, je parle le français un peu comme le vache espagnol, une vache espagnole, mais quand même, je... I did a two-hour show in Belgium recently, because I forgot until I arrived it was a French part of Belgium, but I did it. I made a terrible joke, because it was a little village called Toubize, and it's right near Brussels. And I told them that, in fact, it was well known in the village because Shakespeare had almost moved there at one point. Hence, he wrote the famous line, Toubize or not Toubize, that is the question. and they all understood that. They didn't even groan, they were very polite.
So what's the next phase of the Earl Oaken life story?
I was asked to present MTV2 a couple of years ago, as I think I mentioned to you. And then 2 years ago I had a comedy CD out on Sony Jazz, which was very nice. It's still on iTunes. So if you're listening, download it. I need the money. Actually, I don't get anything until they get their money back, but still. spreads your name, doesn't it? And then that all went pear-shaped because they joined up with BMG and dropped the entire label that I was on. But it's still out there. The record's still available, but I'm not with them anymore. And I spent last year when I wasn't... And last year was mad. Sweden, Switzerland, Ireland, Holland, Hawaii. If you ever get a chance to go to Hawaii, don't. Shanghai, Hong Kong, Australia, South Africa. I've done South Africa Comedy Festival 3 times. That's great. And for some unknown reason, surreal reason, I did Bahrain in the middle of Belgium again. So that was last year. And in between all of that, and I also wrote a jingle for a TV commercial for Bird's Eye Peas, which earned me a bit of money. And I spent the money on making a CD with modern technology, arranging things on my laptop. Hey, as old as people think I am. Anyway, so I've got now a complete CD of straight songs, and it's rock, jazz, a reggae song, bossa nova, you name it, it's on this. I decided to try to write a rumba. I've never written a rumba before, why not? And so I'm hopefully on the verge of being signed to a lovely little jazz label called Candid, the same label that I believe Jamie Cullum started on. I can't claim to be 20-something, mind you.
Well, you could always claim to be.
I could claim to be. Bloody wouldn't fool anybody.
So, and then you want to go, you're saying about going back to the States and doing more jazz?
There's a thing in America called cabaret, and it's not what we think here. Cabaret in America is people like Michael Feinstein who sing the American songbook. And I'm a bit more jazzy than they are, but I could certainly do it. It's the most sophisticated part of the American population. They tend to be older, but they understand irony. I know it's difficult to believe, but they do. And I could do that, and it's well paid. It was like $1,000, and you know, it's, I could do that. And that's why I've applied for the work permit, because I can say to them, yes, I'm legal, come and get me. People bring over American comedians to England, as you know. Nobody seems to be doing it the other way around. The odd person now and then, once we're famous and on TV, but hardly anybody. So I could do one of the things I'd like to do. There's a thing called the Montreal Comedy Festival, which I've never done again because I'm not a stand-up and I'm not 20 years old. I'm sure I'd like to do that same month. There's the Montreal Jazz Festival, one of the great jazz festivals, and one of my ambitions is to be the first person to be able to do both, because I could, and I don't think many people could cross over like that, but I can. So I thought that's my... You've got to have ambitions, don't you?
Absolutely.
So that and the Royal Variety I'd like to do. And after that, it's just a question of groupies, really. That's my main thing.
Go through as many groupies as you can.
So.
How many groupies have you gone through?
Well, I don't like to mention.
Cues.
Not fair to them, really. But I think I try to explain to them, there's only a certain amount of time I've got every day. And much as I'd like to please all of them, it just isn't the time, you know. But I try and get through as many as I can. I think it's only fair, isn't it? Because you owe that to a public. But, a few more groupies, particularly Brazilian ones. I like them best of all, I think. And, you would like a bit of fame. To me, fame means, for instance, if somebody picks up a song of mine in High Street China somewhere, and they say, I don't know this song, Earl Oaken wrote it. Therefore it's good,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Like you would with a Hoagy Carmichael song or something.
Yeah.
And also the other, of course, test is that we're very near the Soho Theatre. Imagine I put a one-man show on. If I were famous, as soon as that happened, tickets would sell, yeah? At the moment they go, who? You know, but that's my definition of being famous, is that when you do a show, people actually are interested in, without too much PR.
Because your name's attached, yeah.
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 So that's I'm into the celebrity thing. I really.
You wouldn't do Celebrity Big Brother.
Absolutely not. I once turned on to Big Brother by mistake. I thought I'd got locked into a CCTV or something. I didn't know what it was, but I immediately left again. I had a lot of people lying in beds or a couple of people talking. I saw, by the way, I was in Sweden when this recent debacle happened with, what's her name, Jade, is it?
Jade Gideon Sharpa, the Indian Bollywood star.
And they played a bit of Jade. Well, I never saw the original one, but the first one I'd seen her. And she was just, you could see her, you've got a very wide mouth, doesn't she?
Yes.
And she opens it very wide. And they were talking over it, so you couldn't hear what she was saying. But it suddenly struck me that she's actually an animated Muppet. It's the same look. And she moves like a Muppet, with the head going, sort of the top of her head going up, and the jaw staying where it is, and the mouth opening. She is a Muppet.
And the same engagement with the brain.
No, not as much. No,
do you think the Muppets are more?
Yes, I think you shouldn't sell Muppets like that.
And on that note, hello, King. That was fabulous. Thank you very much indeed.